Topic for this morning is in his way. Our topic for this morning is in his way. Our key scripture this morning is coming from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. It says this. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and thoughts and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So have you ever been invited to a party or to take a trip and the invitee didn't ask you to pay for anything? All you had to do was just show up and enjoy yourself. And even if while you were at the party, on the trip, you broke something that was expensive, or you said something, or you did something that wasn't pleasing to the invitee, you know what? They didn't hold that against you. All they did was say, "I forgive you," and they showed love. Many of us wouldn't know how to act or wouldn't know how to respond to this type of treatment, especially when the whole trip is on them. We wouldn't know how to receive the grace that we were shown. This reminds me of the God that we serve. He is inviting us on the journey of our lives. All expenses are paid. This is what was going on in Isaiah 55. Many other people were probably wondering how and why he would even consider doing this. Why would he invite everyone to a party or a trip? Because everyone wasn't living right. Everyone wasn't doing the things that are pleasing to him. Yet he showed grace and mercy, and he even gave the opportunity for repentance. Does this sound like any of you? You were invited to the party. You didn't have to pay for anything. And you messed up. And the invitee did not hold that against you. Say, have you ever been invited to take a journey with God and it seems like you just can't get things right? So today we're going to talk about being in his way. You know, we're going to talk about being in his way. So point number one is this. It said there are differences between God's thought patterns and our thought patterns. There are differences between God's thought patterns and our thought patterns. You see, if we were in the place of God, you know, and we had to deal with some of us, we had to deal with us all of the time, you know, us being human beings, us being the flesh, we won't be able to do it. We won't be as forgiving as God is. So in order for us to be as forgiving as God is, we have to be in the place. We have to be tied in to what God says and how he wants us to live. So there are differences between God's thought patterns and ours. So the carnal versus godly. So in Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25, it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, and I am fleshly, sold into bondage, for I do not understand what I am doing, for I am not practicing what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate. However, if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law. The law is good, but now no longer am I the one doing it, but the sin that dwells in me." He said, "For I know that the good does not dwell in me, that is my flesh. The good does not dwell in our flesh. For the good that I want to do, I do not do, but I practice evil that I do not want. But if I do the very thing that I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but the sin that dwells in me." It says that I find the principle that evil is present in me. So the one who wants to do good For I joyfully agree with the law of the God in the inner person, but I see a different law in the parts of my body waging war against my mind. So sin is waging war against your mind. It said, and it makes you a prisoner. It makes us a prisoner of the law of sin. So the law is in my body's parts. So wretched man am I. So who will set me free from this body of death? You know, it says, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God. And on the other, I am serving my flesh of sin. Again, we all know that there is a spiritual battle going on with us. We all know that we're always in a spiritual battle. We know that our spirit is constantly battling with our flesh, man. But that's a battle that we're constantly fighting, you know, that's a battle that we're constantly fighting. And in order for us to win this battle, we have to change the way we think. The scripture says that we are held captive by our thoughts. So you can be held captive by your thoughts. Again, our topic for today is in his way. You can be held captive by your thoughts and your thought patterns. So, and because you're held captive by your thoughts and your thought patterns, the carnal versus the spirit man, or the carnal versus the God man, you might not be able to move in the way that God wants you to move. Because you again, the scripture says that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So when we're held captive, sometimes we get paralyzed, sometimes we get stuck, sometimes we get blinded because we're trying to see where we're going, and God wants us to walk by faith. Sometimes we're deaf and we can't hear because we stepped away from God and we moved away from him. We're not in his way. So it's this constant battle, the good versus the evil. You know, it even started back when we were in, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. They were in the Garden of Eden. Back in Genesis chapter 3, and the serpent came up to them. This how good versus evil, how the flesh versus the spirit came, and God told them not to eat of the tree, not to eat of a certain tree. And you know, it was the serpent that tricked them. Y'all don't grab that. It was the serpent that tricked them because they were thinking with their carnal mind instead of listening to what God told them to do. Imagine how our world would be today if Adam and Eve had to listen to what God told them to do and not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because, hey, look, the serpent said, did God really not tell you guys not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Did he really not tell you guys? Because he said, again, there you go, good and evil. The flesh versus the spirit. The godly man versus the carnal man. There you go. It was even in the garden. See, even the serpent came up, man, even in the garden. Think about it. How many of you are dealing with a serpent now that's in your garden? What happens with the serpent when he comes up in your garden? What happens when the weeds come up in your garden? What happens when those bugs come in your grass and the bugs that's not supposed to be up in there and they start eating? It eats up your grass. Ask me how I know. Because they ate up my yard. They ate up my yard. But thanks be to God, man. God is a God of repentance. God is a God of another chance, man. He'll allow you to do that thing over again. When you get it wrong, when you messed up, man, yeah, God punished Adam and Eve. Yeah, he did. We sin was imputed into us because of what they did. But you know what? God still gave us a way, the way, the truth, and the life, which was his son, Jesus Christ. He said nobody can get to his father except through him. So we got to learn how to do things in his way and not continue to walk in our way. Amen. 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 He says, so what God says is true. He said that the natural mind is very separate from God's, and God's ideas are alien to man. The natural man is not able to understand because only the spiritual mind can make any sense of them. The development of the spiritual mind is something that is not something that can happen overnight. thinking like God is not something that's natural for us, right? All right, so thinking like God is not something that's natural for us. In much the same way, you won't learn to play the piano, you won't learn to drive a car, you won't learn to read overnight. It takes time. It takes guidance from someone who knows what they are doing and so that they can show you. It's only by allowing God to show us his spiritual mind and the constant application of his ways will we be able to develop a spiritual mind and affect the natural way of our thinking. So we can do this by reading the Bible. We can do this by absorbing the word of God and thinking upon the man who was described as the word made flesh, which was Jesus Christ. So it said we need to think about what he said, what he did, how he acted, and everything he did was all about his Father in heaven. So every single thing he did or said was declaring his Father. He put God's thinking within himself. As God breathed out his word, Jesus breathed it all in. Y'all grab that. As God breathed out his word, Jesus breathed it all in. You know, we always go back to when Jesus was coming out of the wilderness after he had fasted for 40 days, man, and how he fought when Satan came up against him. He was in God's way. He understood his purpose in the earth. He understood how to fight and stay in God's way because he knew that people were watching him. He knew that people were watching him. You got to understand that people are watching you. They are watching you and watching how you move to see if you're going to move in God's way and stay in line with what he said, or you're going to step out of line and do what you want to do. You got to understand that they're watching you. But I tell you, sometimes when you think that people are watching you, you feel some like this pressure on you, because I know I do. I can be real for a moment. Because I know that people are watching me, it seems like I got this extra pressure on me. It seems like I have to be perfect. No, you don't have to be perfect, because God is a loving God. God is a forgiving God. He'll forgive you before man will. That's just how loving he is. He'll forgive you before your mama or your daddy will. He'll forgive you before your sister and your brother will. He'll forgive you before your so-called best friends will. But we got to understand that we have to move in his way. And sometimes because you move in his way, some people are moved out of your way. Sometimes God will take some people out of your life that he doesn't intend to stay there for nothing but a season. But sometimes he wants those people to stay there for a season, but we try to hold on to them. We try to hold on to them. We don't want to let them go because they've become a part of our lives. We think that we need them. We've made them little idols. They've taken the place of God. Now you've moved out of his way and you're moving into your way. Now we move out of his way and we move into our way. So again, we gotta rely on the word that God gives us. We gotta rely on the Bible and every word that's in it in order for us to stay in his way. You know that even though they messed up in the garden, God still made a way. He still made a way. Even though the Egyptians, the Israelites, they came out of God got them out of Egypt, got them out of bondage, and they was ready to go back. He still made a way, even when they were trying to go back, even when he showed them that he got them out, they still was complaining. How many of you are complaining about what God got you out of? How many of you are complaining about where you are now? I raise my hand, I do it every day. Don't nobody want to tell the truth today that you complain every day about where you are. You complain every day about where you are. Because why? Because that's what God has you at. And why you complain is because you don't trust God. You don't trust what he's doing in your life. Again, you want to have your way and be in his way. He knows more than we know. Our thoughts are nowhere near his thoughts. He knows more than we know. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the all-knowing God, all-powerful God. That's him. He provides for us when we need. That's him. We got to learn how to move in his way. Point number two is this. It said we can either be in his way or in his way. It says that moving without God is an accident waiting to happen. That's right. Moving without God is an accident waiting to happen. So when you move on your own thoughts without God, you're actually moving and hoping on a wish and a prayer. So the opportunity for things to go wrong are there because you move without God. The accident on your part was moving without God. Y'all didn't grab that, did you? The opportunity for things to go wrong there are there because you move without God. And the accident on your part was that you move without God. So now you're in a situation and you don't know which way to go, which could be devastating to your mental health, your finances, or your family. Today in our society, there's a lot of talk about mental health. Oh, I gotta get away from my mental. What if your mental was something that you did? What if your mental was something that you were putting on yourself and it wasn't something that God wanted you to do? What if you have stress, struggle, or strain because you put unrealistic expectations on yourself? What if you are angry because some expectations things that you were expecting to happen didn't happen? Now it's mental. Now I'm stressing. Now I can't handle it. And it wasn't never meant for you to be put in that situation. The thing about this is, man, and Pastor E texted me something the other night, man, but me and him were texting after we got off group. It was Friday. He told me that he said, Tonio, he said, I wonder if people really believe in God. If you have a God that cares for you and he tells you that you can bring all of your cares to him just for that reason, because he cares for you, but you don't choose to do it. Now we're talking about my mental. You don't have to have your mental. You don't have to have those mental issues if you learn how to rely on God. If you learn how to move in his way and not want to have your way all the time. We won't have so many of those problems. And I'm talking to myself too. Because see, I get it before y'all get it. We go through things. This walk is not easy. But we have a God that is able to do anything but fail. All things but fail. So again, you got to move out of your way and move in his way. You do. You got to move out of your way and move in his way. A God that covers you when you're out doing your wrong. A God that hides you in the shelter. In the secret of his tabernacle. But yet you choose to move from up under it. You choose to do what you want to do. You make it all about you. It's not about you. It's not about your glamour. It's not about your likes. It's not about how many followers you have. Forget the followers on Instagram. Forget the followers on TikTok. Forget how many people following you on Facebook. It ain't about them following you. It's about them following Christ. It's about you following Christ. So you learn how to move in his way. Watch what your eyes look at. My wife tell me that all the time. Tony, you need to watch what your eyes looking at. Watch what you see. Because sometimes we act on what we see and not what we believe. Y'all didn't grab that, did you? Sometimes you act on what you see and not what you believe. There you go. You outside of the will. There you go. You ain't in his way no more, because the scripture said that I have to walk by faith and not by sight. And he said that without faith, it's impossible to please without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith is forward action in trusting him. Faith is forward action, a grab in trusting him, in his way. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, that we might have life and have life more abundantly. How do we get that life? We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Again, our heart has to be open. Our mind has to be ready to confess Jesus Christ through faith. It's by faith that we can continue to walk in his way. It's by faith that I can tell the mountain to move. The mountain might not move right then and there. Sometimes those mountains stay there. Sometimes those mountains stay there. Sometimes those obstacles are there to test us. They're there to strengthen us. They're there to build up your endurance. So we have to learn how to run the race. We have to learn how to run the race and endure in his way. We always talk about Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. In his way. I want you to get out of that mindset this morning of thinking just because you're a Christian, you're not going to go through anything. I want you to know that the struggle is here. I want you to know that the struggle is coming. If you're not dealing with anything right now, I want you to know that it is coming. But because it is, but when it gets there, if you're in it right now, I know that I can tell you that it's going to work out for your good. I can tell you that whatever he has, you're going through. I can tell you that you're going to do just that. You're going to go through it in his way. In his way. Your story is going to be his story. And it's going to be a testimony for somebody else. I know y'all say we always say that. But it is, it's true. How can you be the light of the world? How can you be the light of the world and you don't never go through darkness? Oops, y'all didn't grab that, did you? How can you be the light of the world and you'll never go through darkness? How can you be the salt of the earth and you ain't never salt? You ain't never salted. You have no flavor. You can't be. You are called to add to the world. We are called to add to the world. But all we want to do is take. We want to take what the world is trying to give us. Y'all got that? We want to take what the world is trying to give us instead of add the salt that Jesus gave us. We spend more time watching on what the world has going on. Yeah, that's right. We spend more time watching what the world has going on than reading the word. That's why we don't know how to fight when the battle comes. That's why you take on extra stuff when the battle comes, because you don't know how to fight. You don't know how to let go and let God. You don't understand that it's written in the scripture. The scripture is written for a reason. You don't understand that the battle is not yours. It's him. His. You don't understand that he said that vengeance is mine. I don't think y'all grabbed that. When somebody wronged you, you don't understand that vengeance is his. So now there you go with those expectations. And sometimes, man, because we have those expectations, man, we want God to move when we want him to move. We want him to move how we want him to move. We want him to treat this person how we want him to treat him. And if he don't punish them how we think they ought to be punished, then sometimes we get mad and all that kind of stuff. We want to talk to God, but God, hey, God said, I'm going to handle it. What you stressing about it for? You think about some junk that don't even matter no more. We think about stuff that doesn't even matter anymore. And you wonder why it's mental. wonder why it's mental. Let go and let God in his way, in his way. So when we move, man, when we move with God, the accidents that were waiting to happen are not obstacles on the path that God uses for his glory and for our growth. All right, man. So again, just I know y'all all know this scripture, just Ephesians chapter 6. Look at it when you get a chance. And when it talks about the full armor of God, yep, you got to put on your full armor of God when you go out and you're able to fight. Yep, you got to go put on so you can resist, so you can stand firm, so you can speak truth, so you can walk in righteousness, so you can prepare to speak the gospel of peace, so you can take up your shield, so you'll be able to extinguish those dark fiery arrows when they come at you. And you got to put on the helmet of salvation, which is the word of God. I got to put on that helmet. So it's mental. I got to put my helmet on each and every day. I have to walk and I have to clothe myself in the spirit of God. I have to clothe myself in his Holy Spirit every day. So point number three is this: it said in his way, there is love, there is order, there is peace, there is forgiveness, there is provision, there is patience, there is life, direction, deliverance, and grace. All this is in his way. So you all have the list. It's on the outline. I gave it. I ain't asked y'all to fill in no blanks today. So, but it's there, and it's there for a reason. So when we move, don't move in his way. The opposite of love is what? Hate. The opposite of order is disorder. The opposite of peace is what? Confusion. The opposite of understanding is misunderstanding. The opposite of forgiveness is unforgiveness. The opposite of provision is I'm stressing, I'm straining, and I'm struggling. The opposite of patience is being impatient. The opposite of life is death. The opposite of direction is what? It's misdirection. The opposite of deliverance is mean that you're going to stay in what you're in. And the opposite of grace is mean is you're going to be unmerciful when you walk in your way. Those things are in your heart because we're not walking in the way that God wants us to walk in. We got to eat those fruit. We got to be close to God each and every day. So point number four is this. It says that our way doesn't measure up to God's way. God's ways are and his thoughts are infinitely higher than ours. So we operate with limited knowledge about what's happening today and no knowledge about what's going to happen tomorrow. So you operate with limited knowledge about what's going to happen today. How many of you know what's going to happen when you drive out of this parking lot today or when you get off or sign off of Facebook or YouTube today? How many of you know what's going to happen? You don't. We don't. But God does. That's why we have to trust him. That's why we have to trust him. What if God wants you to wait for a little while he's preparing you for some things to come? Can you wait? Ask yourself the question, can I wait? Can you wait? Ask yourself that question, can you wait this morning? Because you see, we have a problem with waiting. You have a problem with waiting. We gotta understand this, man, and because we have a problem with waiting, man, We want to put everything in a microwave and in 3 minutes we want it to be hot so we can eat. You want it to be hot so we can eat. That's what we want to do in our lives, man. We want to put it in the microwave, put our lives in the microwave. We trying to speed that thing up. We trying to speed that thing up when you need to slow it down in his way. He wants to do things in his way. You got to remember that this too, man, and all this in this scripture, this reason, there's a reason that he gave it to you. You got to slow down, people. If one day is like 1,000 days to God, come on now. We got to slow down. You can wait that one day. That's like a thousand. You can wait those 2 days. That's like 10,000. But 2,000? My bad. I can't do math this morning. We can wait. Yes, we can wait. Point number four is this. It says that. I know y'all write this scripture down, James. Y'all know it already. James chapter 1, verse 2. When we tell us to consider the things that we go through joy as joy. So we have to watch how we look at things and the perspective in which we look at things when we go through it. Because you got to understand that God is trying to do something in our lives, but he's going to do it in his way. He's trying to do something in your life, but he's going to do it in his way. He's going to do it in his time. When he releases you from that job, then you move. I don't care how much hell you catch every day when you walk through those doors. When he releases you, then you move. You got to move in his way. Because, see, when you step before him, you step from up under his covering. So the next door that you walk in that you think that he opened for you, you're going to catch even more hell than you caught on the other job. And then you're going to wonder, oh, Lord, I thought this was a blessing. I thought you moved me. No, I didn't move you. I tried to get you to wait. Because, see, I was trying to do something in you and through you at the place where you were at then. But, see, you couldn't wait. So now I'm still going to get it done. Y'all don't grab me. But I'm still going to get it done. But now you're going to have to go through. You're going to have to bear more than you would have had to bear if you just stayed still. Sometimes, man, you got to be still and let God do what he does best. Then that's be God. That's why he says to be still and know that I am God. You got to move in his way, man. God is good this morning, because I promise you, he good this morning. We got to be still and know who he is. Don't get out of your character trying to be a character. That's right. Don't get out of your character trying to be a character. Halloween was just last Sunday. You could have dressed up then. Be who God made you to be. Walk in the light that he gave you to walk in. Be who he made you to be. You were placed here for a reason. Walk in that purpose in his way. It's a reason that his word tells us to meditate day and night. It's the reason that he tells us to pray without ceasing. Because he knows the battles that we have to fight. He knows what we have to go through. Why? He knows the people that we deal with every day. Why? Because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, and he had to walk through it in the flesh. They hung him up there on the cross. Same hateful people that's down here today on earth. They say they love you 1 minute, the next minute they fighting with you. Don't let them crucify you. Do what God told you to do. So it says we have to, point number five, it says we have to have faith and trust that God, the God who accepted us as we accept it as our Lord and Savior, has our best interest at heart. Do you really believe that God has your best interest at heart? So if you believe that God has your best interest at heart, hey man, you can move in his way. I've been reading the book of Exodus and was just doing this, getting ready for the sermon, man. God was just showing me how he used Moses to get the Israelites out of Egypt, you know. And Moses had to do things the way God wanted him to do them in order for the Israelites to get released out of 400 years of bondage. He had to do things the way that God wanted him to do it. You know, Moses told God that when God told Moses to go and talk to Pharaoh, Moses was afraid. Even though he had been in Pharaoh's house, even though he had already been in there, he was afraid. He came up with excuses. God, I can't talk. They ain't gonna believe me. who I'm gonna tell them that sent me. All these excuses. And God was trying to do something to Moses and through Moses for his people. Even in the midst of God sending Moses to Pharaoh, there were 10 plagues. So Moses had to go back to Pharaoh 10 times. He had to go back to Pharaoh 10 times. Again, keep in mind that God was doing things the way that he wanted to do things. But he was doing things to show Moses who he was, to give him confidence. He was doing things to show how great he was. And he was doing something to show the Israelites that he was God. And that I can get you out of this situation if only you trust me. So he went there with Pharaoh 10 or 11 times. It was 10 plagues, but God had sent Moses to Pharaoh a couple of times before then because he told him, hey, look, go in there and take your staff and throw it on the ground. Put your hand in your cloak and pull it out. Now it was lepers. Go to the Nile and touch it with your staff and the water going to turn into blood. God was doing things in his way. Let me tell you this. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. All right. Most of them, God was the one that was hardening Pharaoh's heart. It wasn't Pharaoh. Y'all didn't grab that. God was the one that was hardening Pharaoh's heart. It wasn't Pharaoh. God was the one that was sending Moses back time after time after time again. He was doing things his way. Sometimes God is going to send you back to a place time after time after time again because he's trying to do something. You have to be willing to go and be obedient and trust him so that you can free his people. Y'all got to grab that. You got to be willing to go and trust him and be obedient so that you can free his people. And while you're freeing his people, you'll be able to free yourself. Because sometimes, man, God, if God is doing something in you and he's trying to use you to free his people, or he's trying to use you to counsel his people, he's doing something in your life as well. Because the counselor is the one that gets counseled most of the time. I don't think y'all grab that. The counselor is the one that gets counseled most of the time. So allow God to do what he's doing in your life. Remember that your ways are not his ways, and your thoughts are not his thoughts. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You got to remember that. You got to remember that. We got to trust God. If you're going to accept him as your Lord and Savior, why not trust him? If he told you not to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow because today has enough to worry about, if he told you that he takes care of the birds of the air, they ain't got to worry about nothing, but he cares about you more. Why are you worrying? Why don't you want to do things in his way? If he told you to put first the kingdom of heaven and everything else that you need going to be added, why are you worrying? If he told you that he's going to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory, why are you worrying? Why won't you walk in his way? You don't trust him. He said that I'm going to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory. In Isaiah today, the people were doing what they wanted to do, but he still told them to come. Read it. He still told them to come. Even though they were doing everything they wanted to do, even though they were drinking, he told them, even though they ain't had no money, he still told them to come. He don't care how you come. All he wants you to do is come. All he wants you to do is come. Notice they didn't have no money. He made provision. If he give you a vision, I always say this, he gonna make provision for your vision. But we gotta learn how to do things in his way. We do, we gotta learn how to do things in his way. So again, our message for the day was in his way. So we gotta get out of his way, people of God, so God can have his way. Amen. I just had to get that out this morning for a few minutes. Hey, I had to get it out. Had to get it out for a few minutes this morning. Had to talk. And man, let God have his way. Yep, let him have his way. Just read the Bible, man. Y'all just go and read. You'll find yourself in there. You're gonna find yourself in there. A situation that you've gone through, you're gonna find it in there. The answers that you need, you're gonna find it in there. It might not be verbatim, like we like to say, oh, it ain't in there. It might not be verbatim. How y'all think the Lord uses the same scripture every week and he gives different revelations on the scripture? The scripture didn't change. God don't change. He said he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What changes is us. We get in our feelings, we get in our way, and man, that keeps God from having his way. So just check yourself this morning. I ask that you check yourself this morning and ask yourself, are you walking in the will of God? Are you walking in the will of God? Can he have his way in your life? It hit me like it hit y'all. Because a lot of days I find myself frustrated. A lot of days I want to quit. Yeah, the preacher, he want to quit. Yeah. A lot of days I have anxiety. I'm upset. Because I'm in a hurry. In a hurry to get nowhere. And God is trying to get me to slow down. God is trying to get you to slow down. So your head will stop hurting. So your neck will stop hurting. So you'll stop getting sick. When he asks you to stand before his people. Or you'll stop getting sick because you have to stand up and talk in front of people. You stop being afraid of the wolves that you're constantly surrounded by. Them wolves can't eat you. Because see, you have a shepherd. We got the chief shepherd. That man, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. But we got the chief shepherd. The one who is our refuge and our strength. He's a present help in the time of trouble. There we go, we're in again. He's a present help in the time of trouble, in his way. So, Father, we thank you this morning for the message that you've given us today. Lord, do what you do, man. Do what you're going to do with it in our lives, Father. Allow us to go back and listen to it, Father. Allow us to release the things that are holding us down, Father. Allow us to see things through your eyes, Father. Allow us to just, man, have your perspective about things, man. To not be in a hurry, Father, to get out of what you have us in. Father, I don't know who needs strength this morning, Father, but I ask that you provide it for them, Lord. I don't know who needs your peace this morning, Father, but I ask that you provide it for them this morning, Father. I don't know who needs your provision this morning, Father, but I ask that you provide it for them this morning, Father. I don't know who needs your confidence this morning, Father, but I ask that you give them confidence this morning, Father. I don't know who needs to be connected or reconnected to you this morning, Father, but I ask you to extend your arm this morning, Father. Need some understanding about something that they're going through this morning, I know who has wisdom. I know who has understanding this morning. And I know that you said that if we ask, Lord, you'll give us wisdom generously. Have your way, Father. In a world where we're just divided, allow your people, your body, to stay together, Father. Do things the way you told us to do. Go out and make disciples, baptizing people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Father that's in heaven. It's your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the mediator between us and God. And it's the Holy Spirit that you left here with us, who walks with us every day, who talks to us every day, who loves on us every day, despite of us. Father, have your way today. Correct our crooked paths. Correct us, Father. Teach us, Father, so that we can walk in your way. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray today. Everybody say amen.